the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Monday Morning Podcast. We're going to go to Tyler Dunn, who covers the Green Bay Packers, in about 15 minutes. So I've got three things I really want to address. Number one, the Rams pretty much dominating Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. There are games throughout the course of a season which are really difficult games to win. For instance, we always know that road teams on Thursday night football, that's a tough spot. If a team was opening a stadium, you know, the Bears playing the Rams at SoFi, first time with fans, that's a tough spot. I thought Tampa Bay really just didn't bring the energy the Rams did. That game felt so big in Los Angeles, Sean McVay, Matt Stafford facing the Super Bowl champions. And that is not a knock on the Buccaneers, Bruce Arians, and Tom Brady, but you know, the NFL, there are upsets. There are certain games like the Bills and the Steelers, week one. You just have to pretend it never happened. If they met again, the Bills would win by three touchdowns. Last year, the Jags beat the Colts in week one. The Jags never won another game. In September, crazy shit happens. Teams aren't ready. They go into Florida, the sun, and they just evaporate. I thought the Buccaneers just stepped into a hornet's nest, SoFi Stadium. I had several friends there. It was deafening, and it felt like a Super Bowl. And it just, to me, it felt so much more important to the Rams than it did to the Bucs. And I don't think Tampa ever matched the urgency I felt from the Rams. The Rams are a team, and I think they match up with Tampa, and not everybody does. But they have a superstar corner in Jalen Ramsey, and you can put him on Mike Evans and basically take Mike Evans out of a game. That's a big deal when you face Tampa. You've got to have a star receiver. They also create a pass rush, an interior pass rush with Aaron Donald. Tom Brady has always struggled with an interior pass rush. They're also a team that will test your corners. Matt Stafford loves to go over the top, and that's arguably the weakness of the Buccaneers. So I think the Rams have a lot of components that are going to challenge the Buccaneers if they met again. An elite show-stopping corner to take out Mike Evans, mostly. The ability to score quickly on Tampa's corners, the weakness, I think, of their team. And an interior pressure component in Aaron Donald, which can frustrate Tom Brady. But I thought that game was all about intensity and urgency. And I find myself fascinated watching McVay and Matt Stafford's relationship with McVay running down the sidelines. I don't know if I'm more interested in the Rams or that relationship. At some point, I think Jared Goff's got to be watching this somewhere at his home in Michigan and thinking, wow, they don't miss me at all. You know, and it's interesting, so much about this league is health. And an interesting player for the Rams is DeSean Jackson. And I was talking to Les Snead during the offseason about this, and he felt that the Rams with Goff were too reliant on 11 and 12 play drives, and that you've got to be able to do what the Chiefs can do, which is score quickly. You can't ask your offense to be perfect. I mean, you can have an excellent offensive line, but one holding call blows up a drive, or one mistake by a right tackle blows up a drive. And so the ability with DeSean Jackson to go over the top and get big chunks of yards quickly, it's a home run hitter in baseball that you'd sometimes... Not every inning can be about two doubles, three singles. Sometimes you need a three-run jack. And I think DeSean Jackson, his health is always a concern, but you can see the speed and how he takes the top off. He's a wild card. If he is healthy in the playoffs, you do not want to face the Rams at SoFi with DeSean Jackson. You do not want to face that team. The second game I want to talk about, the Chargers and the Chiefs. I noticed something last week and called friends on this. Andy Reid did not look right 2 weeks ago. I thought his skin pallor, he looked pale. After the game, the loss to the Chargers in Kansas City, he was rushed to the hospital. He's now in good shape. But, you know, Andy's been doing this for a long time. I worry about his health. You know, as I watch that game, and I'm kind of over worrying about who the best quarterback is, but when you're young and you win a Super Bowl like Aaron Rodgers or a Patrick Mahomes, you are pretty much anointed the best young quarterback in the game. But when I watch Justin Herbert and I watch Patrick Mahomes on the same field, folks, I don't see a gap at all. I don't see a gap at all. In fact, I would argue that Herbert almost makes it look easier. He's a little bigger, a little thicker than Mahomes. He doesn't have the hardware, and Mahomes deserves to be called the best quarterback in the game. I don't care about the list. When you watch those two together, you tell me the gap. I don't see it. I think Herbert has a rifle. I think he has an effortless throwing motion. He was a 4.2 student in biology at Oregon, so smart he was a tutor during classes. He's won a lot of football games at the collegiate level, and last year set all sorts of records with a bad offensive line and a coach in Anthony Lynn who is viewed by the people that I trust in the league more as a coordinator or a college head coach as much as he is an NFL head coach. They don't think of him much in that space. You know, we've all got this victory parade for the Chiefs over the next decade. I think the Chiefs, if you told me over under, Chiefs win 6 AFC West titles the next 10 years, I'd say under. I really would. I think Justin Herbert is that special. And Tom Telesco, the GM, really, if I follow the draft like most of you, he does about as good a job as any general manager in the NFL of drafting college players. I mean, they don't have two misses over the last 4 years. I mean, New England's got 6. They just don't miss much. And I think Kansas City and the Chargers are going to be in shootouts for a decade. And I think it's going to be split right down the middle. They're just going to knock each other out constantly. Maybe it's the Raiders who surprise all of us and sneak through it. I'm going to get to the Raiders later. The other thing that jumped out to me, let me support Matt Nagy for a second. So if you do something really special, it goes a long way with me. It gives you credibility. Life is a resume. So Matt Nagy gets Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs twice. Now, Mitch Trubisky, if Matt Nagy never appears and John Fox retains his job, Trubisky's out of this league. But he was a disaster his first year. So Matt Nagy comes and saves Mitch Trubisky, much like McVay did with Jared Goff. Jared Goff would not have gotten the third year if Jeff Fisher retained his job for another year in Los Angeles. Like Goff, it would be over. 2 years, he was awful. Matt Nagy got Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs a couple of times. That can't be overstated. You're in a division with Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. They're going to win the division. So to get to the playoffs, it's going to be like getting into the playoffs in Mahomes' division or getting to the playoffs in Brady's division in the AFC East for years. So that goes so far with me, Nagy's ability to offensively elevate a quarterback. So there's a lot of complaints in Chicago right now about the Bears' offense and the schemes. Folks, look at what happened yesterday. Trevor Lawrence, awful. Mac Jones, awful. Justin Fields, awful. Zach Wilson, shut out, awful. These guys are all completely over their head. They're just not ready. That's why Trey Lance is in a really good spot. Garoppolo is good enough to start for a while, although we know Garoppolo's not a top 10 guy. But you can blame Matt Nagy all you want. I think he has a decided disadvantage, and that's his general manager. The offensive line's a complete mess. Matt Nagy does not get a big say in personnel. I like some of the parts of Chicago, but they're the only team in the league that doesn't pay their quarterback and has no cap space. Try to figure that out. I mean, the Rams are paying Stafford, and they can still afford Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. So you can bail on Matt Nagy, but look at what the rookie quarterbacks did yesterday. Think about this with Belichick. So Belichick is largely perceived as the best head coach in the history of the game. Josh McDaniels, regardless of what happened when he was coach of the Broncos, is a top 2-3 coordinator offensively in the game. They have a top 5 graded offensive line and a very deep running back set. And Bill Belichick can now not win home games in September against the Saints and Dolphins, average teams. Be very careful about running Matt Nagy out of town. And I know Matt and I like him, but he saved Trubisky. Trubisky is a backup, and no GM in this league, and I got about six guys I talk to regularly. Trubisky's a backup. He got him to the playoffs twice. Justin Fields isn't ready to play. Mac Jones isn't ready to play. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson aren't, but they have to. So, you know, it's interesting. Because of Belichick's titles, he has so much buy-in from fans. We're not acknowledging here. Look at the components the Patriots have, and they can't score. The Bears have a bad offensive line. So you tell me a coach in this league that can take a rookie quarterback with a bad offensive line and win. It doesn't exist. Look at the Jets right now. Bad O-line rookie quarterback. Robert Saleh couldn't score. Been blown out in each of their games. So I'm going to defend Matt Nagy here. You can keep playing Justin Fields. Kid isn't ready. He is not close to ready. Holds on to the ball like Mac Jones way too long. Because neither, at this point, has the ability to read a defense at a second and third upper tier level. I think the surprise team in the league to me is the Raiders. They're 3-0, and I picked them to be in last place. Two things are happening. Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator, deserves a great deal of credit. Now, a lot of people think Gus Bradley deserves a second head coaching job. He brought a lot of his guys with him, a lot of his coaches. The Raiders went and acquired a Baltimore Raven on their defensive front. What they're really doing now is getting a tremendous pass rush. As Greg Cosell told me this week in The Herd, the Raiders are getting a tremendous pass rush without bringing extra people. That has elevated what I perceive to be an okay secondary. Also, we know this through the years. You do not have to nail your first round picks. Belichick hasn't. Pete Carroll hasn't. The Raiders haven't. Be careful about being too punitive on teams having some real misses with their draft picks. So much of this league is quarterback play, protecting him, and the bottom half of your roster. There are very few teams in this league with a top 12 quarterback, and Derek Carr is, an offensive line that can protect him, that don't win. Right now, the Raiders are giving Derek Carr time to throw. They ran the ball yesterday better than they had, but Derek Carr is getting time to throw, and they're creating a massive pass rush without bringing extra people. And somebody told me this years ago, it's so simple, and I think I've said this multiple times. If you have the most comfortable quarterback during a game, you'll win about 75% of the games. And Derek Carr is much more comfortable than the three quarterbacks he has faced so far this year. That's the easiest way to explain it. If there's one team in the league I think I have whiffed on, as long as they're healthy, the Raiders are going to be a really, really tough out. And I'm happy for Derek Carr. You know, he entered the league from Fresno State, so you didn't watch him on television. He was a second-round guy, not a first guy. And he was also, he came to a team that was a mess. So how you enter a company is often how you're viewed. If you start in the mailroom, you're not going to be viewed the same way, even if you rise through the ranks as somebody who started in the corner office. And we didn't watch Derek Carr in college, and he didn't go in the first round, and he went to a lousy team. The Raiders were a mess. He's gone through coaches. But if you're really honest with yourself, and you look at the data that matters for a quarterback, Derek Carr, with time to throw, is a really, really good player. Biggest game of week three, Monday night matchup, Eagles in Dallas. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is going to give new customers 30-1 odds. 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means $150 on a $5 bet. I like the Eagles plus 3.5. I thought they had a very good loss to the San Francisco 49ers. I also think they're hard to judge early because of the improvement week to week of Jalen Hurts. I think Dallas was lucky to win. They're overvalued. Eagles undervalued. I like FanDuel Sportsbook, number one rated sportsbook app in America. Easy to use, safe and secure, fast payouts within 24 hours. Sign up now, promo code Colin, this week before Dallas takes on Philly. Win $150 on a $5 bet. How sweet is that? Remember to use the code COLIN so they know we sent you and you can win. C-O-L-I-N. And if you're in Michigan, make sure you check out this week's Can't Miss Spread the Love offer on the Michigan-Rutgers game. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbookfanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. All right, let's bring on Tyler Dunn, founder of GoLongTD.com, a newsletter dedicated to enterprising pro football journalism and a guy I lean on when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. I honestly felt, Tyler, I felt they were the better team. I thought they had better schemes. I thought they outplayed the 49ers. I was almost floored when the Niners scored with about, 40 seconds left, whatever it was. But this felt like, this really to me felt like the Green Bay Packers came in more prepared and with a better game plan. I would have been floored. I think it would have been a devastating loss had they let this slip away. That was my interpretation. How about you?
That was mine as well, Colin. I mean, down the stretch, you could see that look of just exasperation in Aaron Rodgers' face, Davante Adams and San Francisco's going down, melting the clock for what we think is the game-winning drive, right? I mean, those huge plays by Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Juszczyk. I mean, just superhuman kind of plays. I think they probably had a little bit more to do with those plays than Jimmy Garoppolo, who then inexplicably snaps the ball with, 12, 13 seconds left on the clock. But yeah, you can see Green Bay feel like, oh, this is getting away from us because of the point you just made. They were the better team. They had the better game plan. Every call seemed to be going against Green Bay. So I guess the ball doesn't lie, right? Mason Crosby hits that 51-yarder at the end.
Davante Adams looked like he was knocked out and then was back a minute later. It was hard to explain. I do wonder, and this is really a time to celebrate Green Bay's win because it was a really one of the best games of the year. They really feel incredibly reliant on Davante Adams in big spots. And I mean, Tyler, like they don't have a second option. Do you think Aaron trusts? Is there a number two he trusts on this team?
I think that's probably the point to make here is that trust, because that's how this season was left off in 2020, right, against Tampa Bay, where he's forcing the ball to Davante Adams one too many times, especially on that last drive against his body when he had that shot to run it in on third down. So I don't know. I mean, I tend to think Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a big guy with speed. You don't have a lot of receivers with that combination that he has. And he had some plays against San Francisco. Alan Lazard hit the big catch, but, undrafted guy who was on Jacksonville's practice squad at one point. Not a ton of talent in there that's bursting out that was wanted around the NFL. I think Robert Tonyan's a very good tight end. You wonder how much of that has to do with Aaron Rodgers. So to your point, it's probably a combination of everything. I think that he probably should trust these other guys a little bit more than he does. But maybe that's not necessarily the supporting cast that you see around guys like Matthew Stafford, even Tom Brady. So it's a combination. If they don't have Davante Adams out there at the end of the game, they're not winning that game. It's crazy. I mean, Chris Collinsworth is saying, hey, looks good to go. Looks fine down there. Did you see the same hit that we saw, Chris?
Right.
He was lights out.
Yeah. I thought the NFL, you cover the entire league. Tyler Dunn joining us. You cover the entire league. And so I want to talk about the Niners for a second. There are parts of them, I think we would both subscribe to the belief that the NFC West is probably the deepest division. It's really good. The Rams, by adding Matt Stafford to Sean Jackson, have kind of added a home run component they didn't have to a really good football team. Seattle just can't make stops. I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury. And so that leaves me with the Rams in San Francisco. And I got to tell you, watching tonight, Tyler, I almost watch San Francisco and wonder if their corners eliminate them from Super Bowl contention. I just don't like the Niners' corners at all. I watch teams, Tyler, and I say to myself, you know, there's certain components of teams and you're like, oh, they're just not good enough there. The coaching's too good in this league. I think the Niners corners are so bad and so weak. And again, Aaron, anytime he needed a big completion, he got it all game.
He did. I mean, it's one thing to have a dominant defensive line like they have, like Washington has. I mean, that Washington Buffalo game earlier, hey, Washington has first round picks all across the D line. How much good did that do him? Josh Allen had a field day. He did whatever he wanted to.
Yeah.
Because their DBs are so bad. He just picked them apart. So, I mean, I think these quarterbacks, especially Josh Allen's and the Aaron Rodgers, if you've got a little mobility, some athleticism, that strong arm, something that can get you out of a jam, get you out of that pressure, it doesn't really matter who you have on the defensive line sometimes. It really doesn't, hey, if you're that bad in the secondary. Yeah. So, yeah, San Francisco's got some issues back there. I don't think you can just solve these issues through the course of the season. That's something you got to fix in March, in April. They're going to have to win high-scoring games. Now, can Jimmy Garoppolo win you that game? I think people are going to come away from this game tonight with different interpretations. You might look at that drive you put together and say, holy cow, 75 yards, 2 minutes. That is all the justification I need to know Jimmy Garoppolo should be the starter. I tend to think that those other guys made those plays, and let's not forget him chucking it into the ground behind him the drive before.
Yeah.
I mean, just a ridiculous play.
Yeah, I mean, he looks small with Aaron on the same field. He looks small. I never like to give a quarterback too much credit on one of those 2.5 minute, 3 minute drives in the game because, you know, the coverage changes. And I mean, Green Bay was willing to give up yards, just not chunk yards. Plus, a lot of that drive, about 50% of it, was a great George Kittle play. So, I mean, between Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, I mean, you're talking about those are two of the best 50 players in the league. I mean, those are really stupendously gifted guys. But where do you land today? I mean, you know, it's funny. I look at the Packers. I think they missed David Bakhtiari at left tackle. Sometimes I worry about them at corner beyond Jair Alexander. I worry about their second corner. I worry about David Bakhtiari. They got a pretty good pass rush tonight, I got to tell you, and that's a good Niner offensive front. Where do you land with the Packers today? What are you really happy with and what concerns you?
I think you have to be thrilled, number one, with Aaron Rodgers' play. I mean, 2 weeks ago, rightfully so, a lot of us were questioning his desire, how vested he was into this season. It did not look good. It was ugly against New Orleans. And I think that was a quarterback tonight that delivered in big moments like he has his whole career. So that's probably what's giving them a sigh of relief more than anything is the quarterback that was MVP last season. That's what you saw against San Francisco. Defensively, though, man, I mean, that's about as impressive as Green Bay's defense has looked in a long time.
That's what I thought.
I mean, they got pressure from guys like Dean Lowry. I mean, you see that spin move. He's right in Garoppolo's face. At corner, you know, Eric Stokes, I know he's young. He's going to give up plays.
Hey, he had a couple of – I'll tell you what, Tyler, he's sticky. You don't separate from him.
When they took him, you know, I had a couple of scouts reach out to me and solicited, like, whoa, this guy can play. I mean, they just got themselves a player. Maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't like it. It's not a weapon. That's a cornerback that's going to play sooner rather than later, which is such a premium position, as we're talking about with this game in San Francisco needing an Eric Stokes. So I think the upgrade from Kevin King in a big way there. And I mean, yeah, there were penalties. It kind of muddied the game up a little bit. But I think defensively, after what you saw against the Saints and really that first half against the Lions was just as ugly. That's about as good as Green Bay's defense has looked in a long, long time.
You know, the Rams really match up with Tampa well, Tyler, because they have a great corner in Jalen Ramsey, as do the Packers. So you can kind of take Mike Evans out and force Tom to go to second and third options. The second thing of which the Packers had tonight, Kenny Clark creates an interior pass rush. Aaron Donald creates a rush on Tom Brady's feet. That's the way to kind of make Tom move. And those are two big things. I think the Packers have an elite corner. They can get sometimes they can get that interior rush, which is big. You know, we forget that Green Bay had Tampa in real trouble. When I watched this game tonight, I don't know if I've felt this way about the Packers in 2 years. I thought they kind of physically took it to the Niners. I really did a lot on the line of scrimmage.
It's a very good point. You know, just that physicality.
Yes.
You know, every time they go up with Santa Clara, it's like, and you know, throw in Seattle too. That, you know, we're going back a few years, but those Legion of Boom teams, and then it kind of spilled into San Francisco. It's kind of year to year, coach to coach, era to era. The Packers just look soft against these teams.
Yeah.
Quite out west, and they get their butts kicked. And that wasn't the case. You know what I mean? Like, even if they would have lost that game, you're right. Up front, they were pushing people around. And they're pushing people around without some of their big bodies in there. I mean, they're missing a lot of their big men that do a lot of that stuff. So offensively and defensively, I think the fact that, you know, San Francisco didn't just play downhill the whole game and run for 200 yards says a lot about your progress as a defense. It says a lot about Brian Gutekunst. You know, I mean, he's the GM that the quarterback himself put under fire for 6 months. And that was a team with a roster ready for this moment, right? Ready to kind of beat a team that's pushed them around year to year. I think that top to bottom, the rosters, it's strong, and it's strong with that kind of player, with that kind of mentality that Green Bay's been lacking most of Aaron Rodgers' career.
Yeah, I feel like Amari Rodgers or Randall Cobb, probably Randall Cobb in the next month, but Amari Rodgers probably beyond. And I don't know how it's going at practice, and I don't get the inside stuff on this. I think he has to emerge at some point this season. Is that fair, the Clemson kid? I just, when I watch Green Bay, my one big push is, listen, man, you face, like, let's say the Packers face the Rams and Jalen Ramsey takes Devontae to some degree out of it. Like, you've got to have a second and a third weapon. Now, I will say this, Green Bay has done a great job to develop some young tight ends over the years, and they've got another one. But I just feel like they've got to develop a second. I mean, because now you look at the Rams. If you get into a shootout with the Rams, I got Cooper Kupp. I go Robert Woods. They use their tight ends. I have DeSean Jackson. I have Van Jefferson. Like, Jair is not going to be as, you know, you can just throw the ball on the other side of the field. When I look at the, it's really funny, Tyler. I look at the AFC. I really like Buffalo. And you cover the entire league. I think the Chargers are for real. Kansas City will be fine. Baltimore's a tough out. So's Cleveland. When I look at the NFC, I'm Tampa, Rams. How do you think the Packers match up with the Rams? Because I think they match up with Tampa. I do. I think Alexander can take Evans out. They'll get a bull rush. I don't know if they match up with the Rams.
The Rams, I mean, they just dragged Tampa into a shootout, and Tampa couldn't keep up.
You know,
that score doesn't really do that game justice. I think anybody watching that drive for drive, they just slapping around. It was ugly. So I think right now the Rams, we'll see if they can keep this up, right? I mean, eventually you got to think some smart coaches, smart coordinators are going to throw something at Sean McVay. Similar, I mean, Bill Belichick in that Super Bowl, he made Sean McVay look like a, you know, a high school coach. He had no answers for anything. So at some point, can they figure this out? Right now they can't. Right now the Rams are scoring at will. Every game is going to be a shootout. I mean, Matt Stafford looks like a robot back there. I mean, just picking and choosing whoever he wants, whenever he wants. And if you're Green Bay, you're probably going to have to play that type of game. I tend to agree with you. You're going to have to win in the 30s. You're going to have to win with somebody else stepping up, because in their defense, I mean, that's the standard. I mean, teams are copying what the Rams have done with Jalen Ramsey. And, you know, you have one corner, you let him take somebody away, and you kind of bring another safety over there to the other side. You bracket two back there if you need to, force teams to go the long way. They're going to have to score to keep up. And I come kind of like rationalizing and conditioning everything I say, because I do like Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think that there's a lot to love there, his size, his speed. There's so much good. And then, you know, he might have a drop. He might fall down to the top of a route. He'll have that one mistake that kind of drives fans nuts, the fumble against Indianapolis last year. They're relying on him. So one way or another, the season could come down to Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah. I mean, what's funny about this, Tyler, I'm watching, and all the rookie quarterbacks are completely over their skis. They were just terrible. Mac Jones was awful. Justin Fields, you know, like all of them, he's struggling to read the field. He holds the ball too long. Trevor Lawrence had a terrible pick six. Zach Wilson, you know, it's funny. I, I said this before. This is one of the moments of, I think I kind of nailed it. I said, if Robert Saleh is average, he'll be the fourth best coach in this division. And he looks, you know, that division's got so many good coaches. And you look at the bottom of this league right now, I really do. I think Green Bay is one of five teams. I think the top is really good, but Tyler, I think the bottom is vast. I mean, we're not even mentioning Houston, that's awful, because one of their wins is over the Jags. I mean, the Lions, the Jets, the Jags, the Texans. Right now, the Bears are a bad football team. God, who am I missing?
The Vikings, I know they're 1-2, but they could be 3-0. I mean, at what point do we...
You know, it's funny. I can't take them seriously in the big conversation. I just can't.
Can't either.
If you make... Green Bay will make Kirk Cousins uncomfortable. And to me, the San Francisco will make him uncomfortable. The Rams defense will make him uncomfortable. Like, I never... I just don't trust Kirk Cousins in big spaces. I was told this a couple of years ago from somebody within the organization that he just gets really tight. It's mentals. Yeah. He's a guy that just gets really tight in big spots. He gets nervous. He gets anxious. They have to talk him off the ledge. So I don't see the Vikings as a threat. Do you at all in that division?
I've heard the same thing that you have, Colin. You know, coaches that have been around him, that Monday Night Football record that gets thrown around and kind of mocked because it's thrown around so much. There's something to that. The bright lights, prime time, getting tight in moments. You know, some quarterbacks, they just, their heart rate reaches a level in that moment that is not conducive to success. Right. Some quarterbacks can just calm everything down, like you saw from Aaron Rodgers tonight, and just make the play when you have to make it with everything on the line. So that's why I'm kind of cautious on Kirk Cousins too. I just feel like, you know, he's thrown for what, 900 yards and no picks. And I think he's only been sacked like four or five times. He's doing a good job with his mobility. You know, he's not mobile, but like kind of fading off and avoiding that rush, avoiding that pressure to deliver, you know, to all the weapons they have there. There's a lot to love right now. I just think you know how it's going to end with Kirk Cousins.
We've exactly.
Seen it before. And it's,
that's right.
It's going to be a tease. And, you know, this is why Green Bay, I guess, was okay, kind of, you know, being taken to the woodshed by Aaron Rodgers for 6 months. Like they were okay being embarrassed because they knew, like you just said, there's what, five or six teams that can win a Super Bowl. You know, it's worth it for one more year. You know, even if you're going to have to trade them anyways, even though this could be it in their mind, it was worth it. I still don't think it was. I still think you take, I mean, look how good Denver's young players are. They're 3-0. I'd take about 3-4 of those starters and 3-4 first round picks and rebuild if this is it for Aaron Rodgers. But I can see the logic because there aren't a lot of teams that can realistically win it. You know, if Aaron Rodgers is locked in, what he's going to do, and he just beat a team that's kind of owned him in recent years. So that's a big step in the right direction.
All right. He's the founder of GoLongTD.com. Great newsletter. Read it. If you love the Packers, you got to be all in, but he covers the entire league. I trust him. He's well-sourced. It's Tyler Dunn. On our Sunday night, you're listening to this on a Monday morning. It's late. I'm going to have a cocktail. Hang out. Good seeing you, buddy.
Great seeing you, Colin. Thanks for having me, man.
You bet. That's it for us. Go to our YouTube page, our Twitter, our Instagram, @TheVolumeSports. Rate, review, subscribe. Good Monday stuff. We'll talk soon.
Volume.